Okay, moving on to the kind of national picture, I guess we looked at West Sussex a bit and Lancashire, and I know you're involved with the Britain and Ireland Frack Free campaign. How strong would you say the opposition to fracking was amongst the communities that are potentially affected in the UK?
It's not nearly as strong as it needs to be because far too many people have fallen for the propaganda, and it is propaganda. The industry and the government are putting out so much nonsense about how it's safe and how it will bring these benefits to communities, and sadly we have a culture where we're kind of brought up to believe that this stuff's true. However, it's exponentially changing. People are waking up rapidly, and I think it's going to be actually hugely significant culturally. And it's the first time I've said that, but just having been in the meetings I've been in recently, in my trip to Lancashire last week, I was in a meeting near Borkum last night of over 100 people, and the people that stood up, and you could see the scales falling. It's changing very fast, but whether it will be quick enough remains to be seen. Those who have heard from the experts, like Dr. Marianne Lloyd-Smith, who spoke to us last night, she's a toxics expert from Australia and has a lot of experience of helping people with contamination damage. We've had Jessica Ernst here. We've had a number of people who've come with experience from places that have been dealing with this for a long time, and they have the scientific evidence. When people hear that, the penny drops. And it's not just the tree huggers and the environmental activists, quote. It's normal, intelligent people who are seeing past the investment.
What happens next? How quickly could drilling take place in Borkum?
The situation in Borkum is vague because the statements change by the day. In the newspaper reports and the Kudrilla statements, they're saying that they're not going to be fracking, they're only drilling, don't worry. Well, for a start, that is, again, very condescending, because clearly if they find what they're looking for, they will then seek to go into production, which will involve production level fracking. However, the drilling itself involves toxicity and noise, and one of the biggest concerns is the flaring, the gas flaring, which is appalling. It's so close to a village with all the chemicals that are in that, and we've got all those detailed as well. This is something that's just coming out now. It is, as I said before, a moot point whether they actually have permission to frack, because their permission said there may be a need to stimulate. And stimulate is understood to mean frack. They use the term flow test as well. That also involves a level of fracturing. The geology in Borkum, it's different from Lancashire, because Lancashire is shale rock and it's gas from shale. In Borkum, it's micrite, it's a chalk deposit, and as we understand it, they are looking for oil, but then there will be gas there as well. And they're using what they nicely call an acid wash, which is an acid frack. It involves hydrochloric acid, even at the testing stage. This is very close to a river and a reservoir.
You talked about production level fracking. What kind of impact does that have on a landscape?
Well, there's only been one production level frack in England so far, and that was at Preesall Farm in Lancashire, where they caused earthquakes. And I've now stayed in the room of somebody's house 10 miles away that was cracked that day, and he felt his whole house shake and then noticed all the cracks in the plaster and now the doors don't fit properly. If they do roll this out across the world, across all the areas of Britain that are potentially licensed, we will be peppered with these wells. It's not just one bore. There are several bores to a site. If you look at the aerial photos of Queensland or North Dakota, it's like Mordor. I know that sounds melodramatic, but it is. I personally am opposed to this technology anywhere. Anybody calls me a NIMBY, yes, I am. If everybody was a NIMBY and stopped this happening in their backyard, would be all right. I'm also a nomp, not on my planet. This is completely unnecessary. It is an ecocidal technology that cannot be justified. And if we continue, it's like an alcoholic sucking the wine out of the carpet, the last little dregs. If we continue trying to get all these last bits of fossil fuels out of the geology, instead of investing in safe technologies that are renewable, that are properly sustainable, that will provide lasting jobs and will give us the energy security and all this stuff. They keep doing all the fear stuff that we'll be independent and we'll be safe. It's nonsense, because we'll be 20 years down the line. We might have kept the lights on. And then we'll be much worse off. We won't have properly explored ways of being sustainable and, crucially, using less. For heaven's sake, we have to, as a whole culture, as a species, certainly in the so-called developed world, we have got to use less. We've got to cut our consumption. We've got to insulate our buildings. We've got to change our whole consciousness.
One of the tasks of the new Office for Unconventional Gas and Oil seems to be to dispel all these myths that community organisers like yourself have. that seems to be their line, that you're kind of operating under the misinformation.
Yeah.
Where do you get your information from? How do you know that these risks are real?
Yes, we call them off you go. As opposed to you go, I think they pronounce it. I have heard so many politicians say there is no evidence of contamination. I've heard Francis Egan lie outright on the radio and say that assertions of danger are not based on facts. I'm in personal contact with people in several parts of the world. I've mentioned Jessica Ernst. There are heart-rending stories from Australia. There are widely documented cases of many, many people near the CSG, the coal seam gas fields, which is coal bed methane here in Australia, with horrendous respiratory problems, nerve problems, numbness, tingling, all kinds of things going on. This is all documented. A lot of it is suppressed. We've heard of cases in Australia where farmers have been offered air conditioning in return for non-disclosure. Have you ever tried silencing an Australian? You'll see why that didn't work and why three companies have now pulled out of Australia because of the Lock the Gate movement. In Pennsylvania, anybody just has to Google this, list of the harmed. It's put together by the Pennsylvania Clean Air and Water Alliance, and there's a list of well over 1,000 now families who have documented their symptoms, the illnesses in their children, the respiratory stuff, the cancers in some cases, the livestock that's dying, the pets that are ill. I've seen film of a woman saying, they've killed my pets, they've killed members of my family, I'm sick, my 94-year-old mother can't turn on her tap, please help. These are people in rural areas of Pennsylvania who are not being listened to and who are being suppressed, and they're having their water that has been given to them as a replacement, even though the company has denied contaminating the water, they've brought them in tanks of water and then they threaten to take them away if they go public. When I hear, whether it's the Scottish Energy Minister who said it to someone I know personally, whether it's Peter Lilly, whether it's Osborne, Boris Johnson, they're all coming, they are either, well, they're negligent, they're either lying outright or they haven't looked into the facts, and either way, as men in office, they are negligent. There are people all over the world who are suffering desperately from this industry, and they're telling us it's safe. Go figure.